Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 30. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 30. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 30 reads this way. It says, "When thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient to his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people, and Lord, seeking you, and then being reminded again where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence. We ask for the filling and power of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, that we might hear from you, and Lord, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, that you might be glorified and you would strengthen the faith and grace that you've given to us to be faithful witnesses. And we'll give you the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is "Even in the Latter Days." Can you imagine? In the book of Deuteronomy, we're talking about the latter days. Now, we could say, well, this is the latter days concerning the end of the ministry of Moses. And that would be true. He's coming to the end. God told him, you're not going to come into across the Jordan. You didn't speak to the rock like I asked you to. And so he was going to stay on that side of Jordan. But the people of God were moving forward and receiving the promises and opened up to the promises of God. But even in this point here, we can also relate to, because God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And even in the latter days, we can talk about that from the very beginning of the book of Genesis all the way to the end of the book of Revelation, because God is the one that is in control of everything. And I like what Malachi 3:6 says. He says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Don't you like that? "I change not." That means his mercy doesn't change. That means his grace doesn't change. "Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." And that's another good reason to be thankful for that, because if not, we'd be finished if it wasn't for the grace of God. And so an important thought as we consider, well, let me just share really two points. The third point, I'm going to challenge you to do a little study, all right? So here's the first point. Verses 23 through 28, we're going to look at a warning against self-corruption. And then secondly, we're going to look at God's great mercy. And then the last point is your homework assignment. That's going to be verses 33 through 40, and that's God's great deliverance. And he goes back and he reflects on how God delivered them out of Egypt, and that's a picture of the world, and God delivers every saved child of God out of the world system, right? We are in the world, but we're not of it anymore. We're not manipulated by it. We're not moved, or we shouldn't be, and we don't have to be. And the world, let me give you a picture of the world, the news. The news, is it happy and joyous, or is it always dismal? It's always somebody got killed, or this went wrong, or that went wrong. And why is that? Because that is the plight of mankind without the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the world without God. And so God says, listen, that's what I've delivered you from. I've given you eternal life, and now you don't have to look to the old system of things. And by the way, speaking about the news, I've mentioned this before, but how much money would you pay for last year's news today? How much? I don't even think any of us would pay one penny for it, right? And it never changes. It's always negative. But the good news is in the Word of God, and we thank the Lord for the hope and the grace that he gives to us. So just want to consider some things here as we look at this first thought. And this is a warning against self-corruption. Now, I want to remind us of this, because if we look to ourselves, we as believers, we can say, well, you know, the grace of God covers me. And that's true. I have eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's true. I have a hope that can never be taken away. And that's true. But that's not the only place that we're to look to. We're also to look to at what is the spiritual temperature of the church, of the body of Christ. Because if the body of Christ needs help, then what is my part in
the helping of the body of Christ, because it's the church that's been commissioned with the gospel to go out into the whole world. Not just us as individuals. We could say, well, listen, I'm not wrapped up in sin. I'm not caught up in sin. I'm not given to sin. My life, as far as the world would say, and even as the Lord would say, is a good life. Well, what is the church like? What's happening in the church? Because we're a part of that also, and that's what is to honor and glorify the Lord, world without end. I mean, if you look at the book of Romans chapter 3, I think it's verse 21, that God ordained the church to honor and glorify Him throughout all the ages until He comes again. And so we thank the Lord for that. But where are we at as God's people in the church? So let's look at this warning that he gives here against self-corruption. Look at verse 23. He says, "Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee." So he says, now he's talking to the people of Israel, right? He's saying, look to yourselves. He didn't say, now Joshua, this is what you have to do. Or Caleb, this is what you... He said, no, the people of Israel. So today, he has a concern for his church, his local New Testament church, the body of believers that he has ordained to serve him as a royal priesthood. And so we need to look at the church and see, where is the church at? Is it lukewarm, the church today? Is it lukewarm? Or is it on fire for God? Are we seeing the strongholds of the devil in the world being overtaken? See, if we're not careful, we could just say, well, you know, I'm not that bad. I think I'm going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But let me ask you this. Where is the church at? That's important. And what is my part in the local New Testament church? Am I praying for the church that God has placed me in? And am I asking God to empower us by His grace to be the witnesses that He's called us to be? You'll always find that God says, never in our power, but always in His. So notice verse 24, it says this, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire." So he says, first of all, he says, be careful that you don't forget the covenant of the Lord. Well, the covenant of the Lord is made with us as individuals, but it's given to the church, is it not? I mean, that's what is to propagate the gospel. It's the church, not just us as individuals. It's not that individuals can't do that, but what is the health or the lifeline of the local New Testament church or the people of God that he has called together to honor and glorify him? So don't forget the covenant of the Lord and the purpose that he has in the church, not just for ourselves as individuals, but collectively as a body of believers. So he says, don't forget the covenant of the Lord, or don't get caught up doing the things that God has forbidden us. What did the Lord say to us as believers? He says, you are in the world, but you're not supposed to be what? You're not supposed to be of the world, right? And so we need to be careful that we're not moved by what the world is moved by. The world gets excited about certain things, and it's not wrong to have certain things and do certain things, but let's not get given into the things that the world is definitely against the things of God, right? We don't want to go along with those things, and we don't want to get caught up in those things for sure. So verse 24, he says, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." So he's purchased us with the blood of his son. He says, I love you, and I've got so much in mind for you, right? So can you imagine a mom and a dad? What is it that a mom and a dad would want for their child? Well, how about this? Can we say what a mom and a dad would not want for their child? Would a mom and a dad not want their child caught up in any kind of destructive drugs or things that are like that, right? Or how about this? They don't do drugs, they just sell drugs. Well, that's not good either, is it? And especially if you consider the kind of people that sell drugs, right? There's no honor among thieves, really. They shoot their own, right? You hear of territory wars or turf wars, they might call them, and one gang is fighting against another gang because they moved in on their territory and they're selling drugs to their drug addicts, you know, and they get all upset about that. Well, we definitely would not want our children to be caught up in that. We would want better for them, right? And so, likewise, also, God has, he says, I have prepared. And by the way, listen, when you work and you strive to point your children in the right direction, it's heartrending. It's heartbreaking if they turn away from that and get involved in things that are destructive. Question, ready? Do you love them any less? No. You don't love your children any less. But your heart breaks, right, if they're caught up in something that's destructive. And so the Lord is a jealous God over his children. And he gave us his son to redeem us and to give us a better hope and a better promise. So he says this, verse 24, one more time. He says, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves and make graven images or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger. Well, what are some of the things that Israel got caught up in? Well, they got caught up in worshiping Molech. And if you remember Molech, he was like the bull god, if I'm not mistaken. And he had arms out there, and they were sacrificing their children. They would heat up his arms to where they were glowing red hot, and they would, for prosperity, they would put their children on there because Molech was going to promise them wealth. Can you imagine what parent would do that? And yet, in the day and age in which we live, are parents not leading their children in a direction that is destructive and allowing them to get caught up into things that would ruin their lives? And so God says, listen, when you see that kind of thing taking place, you need to call upon the Lord. And by the way, listen, my goodness, we can look at our nation today. We can see all kinds of things that are against God that are taking place. And then we wonder why everybody is so upset with everybody and why things are not going the way that we would like them to go. My goodness, I don't ever remember when I grew up in the 70s and in the 80s hearing of so much murder taking place amongst young people, and yet that's happening, and young people just killing people for almost no reason at all. And so things have changed, and when you consider it, they seem like they've changed very abruptly. Like even in the last 10 years, things have gotten really bad. And so he says, when you have corrupt yourselves, when you do these things, you need to seek the Lord in on this. So verse 26, he says, I call, here's a consequence of God's judgment on his people. Verse 26, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but ye shall utterly be destroyed. Now this was the case. Israel was scattered amongst the nations. They God's judgment finally fell on them, and God was very merciful and kind to them. And many times during the time of Judges, that he would raise up a judge and he would bless them, and then they would turn away from the truth and they would corrupt themselves, and then they would be plagued, and all these bad things would happen to them because they turned away from the Lord. They'd call upon the Lord, God would raise a judge, and it was a cyclical type of a situation that was going on in Israel because of not just one person, but as a general rule, this was the way that Israel was going. And the only reason why I think God would have us to pay attention to this tonight is because as we look at America, that was a godly nation at one point that sent out many missionaries to proclaim the truth, where are we today? Where are we? What is it that the young people are involved in? What is it that they're giving their attention to? Are they seeking out the things that are holy and righteous? Are they seeking out the things that are wholesome and good? And I would dare say, for the most part, as a society, no, that's not what we're doing. And we can see the consequences of what's going on today because of that. But as we consider this, God says, listen, when this happens, these things are going to overtake you. Look at verse 28. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of man's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor smell. In other words, you're going to worship an inanimate object. And I dare say that's happening in our day and age. People are pursuing this and inanimate objects, and they're putting their families and they're putting God in second place, and they're pursuing these things that they think are going to bring them fulfillment, and it's never going to take place. It just gets worse and worse. But consider this, God's great mercy. Look at verse 29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, in other words, if you can come to this place to where you see the destruction, you see the dismay, even from that place, he says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt what? You'll find him. That's God's promise. That's not my promise. That's God's promise. He says, you'll find him if thou seek him. How? Once in a while? When the weather's blowing in the right direction? No. He says, if you'll seek him, if thou will seek him with not most, but with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Well, Lord, I need you to show me what that means. Do you know what it means to seek the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul? I must confess to you, I don't know what that means. I have an idea, don't get me wrong, but what can you tell me what that is exactly? I think that's a personal pursuit. Lord, show me how to seek you with all my heart and all my soul. Do you remember the disciples were so caught up with the Lord's prayer that they asked him this question, Lord, teach us to what? Pray. They were impressed with what they saw in the Lord. And so tonight God is trying to show us some things, and he's saying, with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And do you think God knows what that means? All our heart and all our soul? Yes, he does. He wouldn't have asked us to do that if he didn't know that. So am I really seeking God with all my heart and with all my soul? And here, look at verse 30. When thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee. I don't know about you, but I think this society is in tribulation, don't you? Do we need more stuff to come upon us before we need to see the importance of crying out to the Lord? I mean, how much worse do we want it to get before we say, God, we are in trouble. We need your help. And so he says, when thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, verse 30, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient to his voice, unto his voice, he says, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. Aren't you glad? He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Don't you like that? Listen, I can stop right there and say, you know what? The Lord will never turn away from his promise. He's merciful and he won't forsake me. And if I seek him and say, Lord, show me how to seek you, he says, you know what? I'm going to work and I'm going to bless in your life. That's his promise. Verse 32, this is the last one. For ask now of the days that are past. We would call that what? The good old days. Amen. Oh, boy, man, I wish I lived in the good old days. You know, I thought life was tough, and maybe it was in the 60s and 70s, but it's more complicated today than ever before. I mean, as far as upheaval and discontentment and all kinds of craziness that's going on. For ask now, verse 32, of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there be any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. I like that. Ask from one side of heaven to the other. Have you ever done that? Have you ever asked from one side of heaven? I can honestly say I've never done that. In fact, here's what I have to say. Lord, what does that mean to ask from one side of heaven to the other? Does that mean that I've asked and I ask and I ask and I'm not going to stop asking because you promised to answer that one side of heaven to the other side has heard me asking? I don't know. But here's the thing. The important thing is that we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, show me how to pray. Lord, show me how to seek you. Because if not, you know what we think? Listen, I'm pretty good. I know the world's falling apart. That's okay. I'm all right. No, it's not about us. It's about the cause of Christ. Where is it standing? It's about the church that he's called to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Where is the light? Where is the salt? And if it's not shining like it should be, well, how should it be? Well, I would dare say, just like it did in the book of Acts. Amen? They had troubles, but things were taking place. Or if we're not careful, here's what we can do. We can excuse ourselves and we can say, well, that's somebody else's job. Oh, no. If you're a new creature in Christ, as 1 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us, he says you're a new creature in him, right? I think that's verse 17. And then he goes on and says that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. We, the church, has been given the ministry of reconciliation. And so how is the light of the world? Has it grown dim? How is the salt of the earth? Has it lost its saltiness? And if it has, then we've got a problem that we have the privilege of bringing before the Lord of grace and saying, God, we need you, even in the latter days. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening as we finish this portion of our service and get ready to break off for prayer. We ask your blessings that we might call upon you and ask you, O God, to show us your way, and Lord, to lead us and guide us in your light, in your truth, by your Holy Spirit, for your honor and glory, and for our blessing, and for the salvation, Lord, of our families, Lord, and the whole world, that you've given the life and blood of your Son to redeem it. Lord, may we be found faithful in each and every day until we see you face to face. May we encourage others by your grace and power to seek you in a way that glorifies you and changes our lives. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise. Again, bless as we break off for prayer. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.